Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Monday, and that means here on All of It, it's time for our review preview series. This week, we're talking theater. With us now to walk us through what's happening both on and off Broadway is friend of the show, Helen Shaw, theater critic at New York Magazine and Vulture. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
We saw each other in the wild.
We did. We did. There was a spotting.
At a play, and I think we scared each other. We both were like, ah, you exist outside the studio. So proof, people, she's out in the world seeing all this stuff.
So does
all happen. Right. So this is a show I have tickets for and I'm very excited about. Six. Mm-hmm. It's in previews on Broadway. It's set to open on Thursday, March 12th. Mm-hmm. This is based on the wives of Henry VIII. What is the premise?
So the premise is that the six wives of Henry VIII, some of whom were beheaded, some of whom were divorced, and some of whom, you know, made it, they are kind of on tour. And so it is, the thing isn't a play, it isn't a musical, it is like a concert. It's like a rock concert. And they are kind of vying for our attention and our affection.
Well, let's take a listen to a clip from Six, and then we can talk about it on the other side.
Listen up, let me tell you a story. A story that you think you've heard before. We know you know our names and our fame and our faces.
Know all about the glories and the disgraces.
I'm dumb, cause all this time I just want words in a stupid rhyme. So I picked up a pen and a microphone.
History's about to get overthrown.
Divorced,
beheaded,
died.
Divorced,
beheaded,
survived.
But just for you tonight, we're divorced, beheaded, live. Come to the show, to the history mix. Switching up the flow as we add the prefix. Everybody knows that we used to be six wives. Raising up the roof till we hit the ceiling.
I keep calling them royal spice.
Yeah, it is. They planned that. Yeah.
So my question is, something like this can go wrong.
Uh-huh.
And from what I read, the creators, they were a little bit worried about this. So they really leaned into the humor.
Mm-hmm.
Are they successful in this enterprise of six?
So since it opens on the 12th and I'm writing a review, I am technically not able to say what I think about this joyful experience.
Okay.
She said codedly. I can say that it...
Well, what was the role of humor?
Oh, what's the role? So it is... there is a lot of history referential humor, which is striking the audience right in the middle of its, like, World Gov AP prep, if you know what I mean. It was wonderful to hear the younger people in the audience getting jokes faster than the older people because they are simply closer to knowing who Anne Boleyn is.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite charming. And there's also, it's totally irreverent. It's totally... it is Spice Girl pop, absolutely. But it is also using that humor to shuck off our cares. And it is explicit about saying, here are things that are terrible, all the way up to and including beheading. And by laughing at them, we take power over them. So it's happening on stage. It winds up happening in the audience. And it's not a bad week to have that as an experience.
Is it radical in any way?
No, but it is. It is. If you remember Lori Petty in Tank Girl, you know it is. It's riot girl empowerment, except now it's sort of riot wife empowerment, and it's. So is that radical? Of course not, but it is welcome.
That is Six, and is opening Thursday, March 12th. You did an excellent job of walking that line. Excellent job, Helen Shaw from Vulture and New York Magazine, their theater critic. So Dana H. is this production at the Vineyard Theater. It's through March 29th. Helen has her hands clasped over her heart. This is quite an interesting story. This is based on a true story, right?
It's not based on a true story.
Oh, I thought it was based on a true story.
It is a woman telling her story.
Gotcha.
It's not based, and it is It's the raw material. What you are listening to is the voice of Lucas Naith's mother speaking into a microphone, several days of interviews compressed by Lucas into just a cut of that interview. So there is no distillation. There is no dramatic veil here. We are not pretending that we are in a world. We are hearing the real words.
And tell a bit about what happened to his mother.
So while he was at school, while he was away in New York, his mother in Florida was assaulted and kidnapped by someone that she had met through a psych program. She's a person who offers a lot of services through hospitals and mm-hmm. through psychiatric units. And he abducted her for 5 months. And it is something that her son didn't know about. It was something which seems completely out of this world. It seems out of reality. It seems impossible. And yet the more she tells you, the more you realize that that we are kind of standing on top of trapdoors all the time. And any minute you could drop through and this could happen to you.
Because it is the actual words and the transcripts, is it theatrical in nature?
It is. So this actress, she is one of our great downtown actresses. Her name is Dee Dee O'Connell. And you watch her in the first few seconds of the play. She's sitting on stage. They hook her up with headphones. And then she lip syncs to the recording of the voice. So you never hear Dee Dee's voice, but she is such an incredible actor that you watch her basically mime the performance or mime this the original Dana H's mm-hmm. Words, and you start to kind of let those two things blend into each other, the mask that's speaking to you and the real voice that you're hearing, which gives you just enough dramatic distance, just enough to be able to handle it. I think actually it would be very difficult to hear these things without breaking down, without trying to offer the person mm-hmm. help. And so by having Dee Dee O'Connell kind of in our way dramatically, it means that we're able to kind of bracket this experience from how you would really respond to somebody telling you about something this painful.
That is Dana H., which is at the Vineyard Theater through March 29th. Our next piece we're going to talk about is Suicide Forest. Mm. This is another play where there's real life incorporated into the production. It's at Art New York through March 21st. Who's the playwright and what is incorporated from her life into the play?
So Haruna Lee, their life is certainly a component of the drama. There is also another half to the drama, which is a kind of burlesque, a play which is extremely exaggerated and comic. And I should say it does really deal with suicide. It is about a Japanese salaryman who is pushed and pulled by his life into a situation of total desperation. All of this is played at a level of extreme comic broadness, so it's almost like you're watching a person failing at a prank television show, and yet what's happening to them is that he is giving up on life. And then the show ruptures, and Haruna Lee's own story starts to break through. They come forward, start speaking about their own experiences. The actors stop pretending, and it is, you know, for a while I was worried that I was giving people spoilers by telling them about this rupture. I have seen the play twice, though, and I actually think that the second time it was even more powerful. I think you could know every second of what's going to happen in this play, and it would still blow you away.
And I noticed you use they there. Are those preferred pronouns for Haruna Lee?
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I want to make sure. Thank you for letting me know.
Yes.
For people who think this sounds interesting, without giving too much away, how explicitly is suicide dealt with in this play, in case you're someone for whom that might be a difficult subject?
It is the Suicide Forest in the title is not only a reference in the play, it's also a setting. And so in a highly stylized way, we do encounter bodies hanging from trees. And we also know that this is the choice that's hovering over this man for the entirety of the first half of the piece. I think that if you are particularly sensitive to trauma being enacted in front of you, personally, I would be more scared about Dana H. because there is no help in Dana H. There is just reality. Whereas in Suicide Forest, the show converts those terrifying early energies into something which is about intimacy and care. And so the piece is itself therapeutic. It does deal with trauma, but it is therapeutic.
The name of that is Suicide Forest. It is playing through March 21st. My guest is Helen Shaw, theater critic for New York Magazine and Vulture. We'll have more with Helen after the break. We're going to be talking about Lehman Trilogy and Intimate Apparel coming up. And we're back with New York Magazine and Vulture theater critic Helen Shaw. She's helping us with some reviews and previews of theater happening in and around New York. Ah, Lehman Trilogy, Helen. So this is about Lehman Brothers.
Yes.
It opened on Broadway this weekend. It had been off Broadway, correct?
Yes, it was at the Park Avenue Armory, which is this block-long interior where massive shows sometimes happen.
So this got a rave from the New York Times. What's your take?
I give it 2/3 of a rave.
Okay.
And I saw it, and I'm referring now to the Park Avenue Armory production. Obviously, I haven't seen it or reviewed it yet on Broadway, but it is 3.5 hours long, so gird your loins. And it is 2/3 of that is some of the finest acting, most beautiful production, sensitive, interesting, poetic work, really, really exciting. And then the last third of it, which brings the story of Lehman Brothers up until the present day, is simply flat and in my opinion, kind of foolish and damaging, because it tries to tell the story of the 2008 collapse in a way which we, even someone like me who has very little financial understanding, I know is not right. Mm-hmm. That is really dangerous, to move us into reality and then to show us a reality we know isn't true.
Now, is it incorrect for the sake of creativity? Is that what's being, the factual nature is being sacrificed for creative choice?
I don't know. I think that Mazzini, the person who wrote the original poem, this is in his critique, in his the thing is actually a conversion of a poem, which, is that he believes that the fact that our economy is built on valuations of things that don't exist is what led us into the 2008 collapse, which means that he needs to tell a story about personal credit as the thing that leads to Lehman Brothers collapse. No one ever had a Lehman Brothers credit card. That doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong. And so because that's such a small
thing. It's based on
his
belief system.
I wonder if that's what's happening. I wonder if that's what's happening. And that kind of a, yes, that sort of Americans or the American financial system, he's an Italian poet, that the American financial system is based in unreality becomes his reason for why this collapse happened. And you think, oh, what a lost opportunity. It's so much more complicated than that. But look, up until that moment, it has been one of the great theatrical experiences of my life. So the crazy thing is, I would send you. Mm-hmm. I would say go. I would just say...
Go, but no.
Go, but right at the end, you know, you might be stroking your chin a little.
This, you know, as I mentioned, you mentioned this was at the Armory and then to Broadway. We've just seen Girl from the North Country come to Broadway. I've only been in the seat really thinking about these things from a journalistic point of view for the past year and a half, 2 years. But it seems like these shows are making it to Broadway more quickly than I remember.
Yeah, we are using downtown as the fast funnel these days. And What the Constitution Means to Me came up from downtown very, very quickly. Hangman was just off Broadway. Now it's going to be on Broadway. Sing Street was off Broadway 45 seconds ago, and it is going to be on Broadway. I think we've just started. I think the routing system just seems to have gotten a lot faster.
I wonder, just new gatekeepers, perhaps? Maybe? I don't know.
I think, yes. I think the second stage getting its own Broadway theater has been a real values leader, actually. And so more and more of these kind of nonprofit for-profit partnerships seem to be happening with sort of a quickness, but also an ease and a confidence that the audiences will come. And I think that that's another thing, is that audiences' sensibilities changed. Audiences are buying a lot of Hadestown tickets, so maybe the next New York Theater Workshop show should go as well. I think that's the logic.
My guest is Helen Shaw, theater critic at New York Magazine and Vulture. Intimate Apparel is the Lynn Nottage play, which is being reconfigured to opera. And that is opening Monday, March 23rd. What do you think about a play as an opera can do for the work? An opera to play, play to opera.
You know, I am excited about this beyond the bounds of reason, because Lynn Nottage, you know, you watch Lynn Nottage shows and they have this size to them, this magnitude and capacity to them that other plays don't have. And that sometimes being turned from the page into a production on the stage, there is a kind of a minimizing effect that you think, wow, she's painting on a bigger landscape even than this very nice production can give it. And I know that she thinks operatically. I think she originally conceived of Intimate Apparel as a story she might tell through music. And so this just feels like the logical next step for this, for the way that she writes and the way her mind works.
Nollywood Dreams is running March 19th through April 26th at MCC Theater. Who's the playwright behind Nollywood Dreams?
Oh, Jocelyn Bio. So Jocelyn Bio was the one to watch, star in the sky, 30 under 30, I don't know. She's this incredible talent who a lot of us had been watching as an actor, and then it turned out that she was also this very gifted playwright. She wrote Schoolgirls, the African Mean Girls play, which got a lot of attention last year, also transferred all over the city. And MCC has her as their resident playwright, and they're bringing her back with this.
What is the premise of this?
So it's, and this is very exciting from a standpoint of costuming, because it's set in the 90s. And if Jocelyn Bio, her humor is extremely funny when things are set in the 90s, I will just say. It's set in the 90s in Nigeria in a sort of, it's sort of a girl comes to the big city. Will she all about Eve, the woman who's the Nollywood heroine? Will she fall in love with the sort of gorgeous Nollywood actor? It is envisioning one of those old golden age of Hollywood stories, but doing it in the golden age of Nollywood in Nigeria.
Oh, that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your final play, you're suggesting, is Cyrano.
It is.
So you saw this in London already?
I did.
So tell me, obviously this is a take on Cyrano de Bergerac.
It's pretty close. It's Martin Crimp's translation, which is, it's for just, you know, as an act of translation, it's incredibly impressive. It is rhyming. It is incredibly full of slang. Edmond Rostand, the original French guy, probably didn't swear quite as much as Martin Crimp has everyone swear. But it uses the fact that it was this beautiful verse drama to convert it into a spoken word hip-hop drama. And it is, the language that he uses is next level.
And it is starring James McAvoy?
It is.
Which is a fine thing, in my opinion.
It is. And I should tell you that during the break, things were said about James McAvoy in this studio that I hope will always stay in the studio.
And you're good for me.
It is. It really is. He speaks in his own Scottish accent with this kind of rhythm and fire, which is genuinely unforgettable.
All right. It's great, is what you're telling me?
Oh, no. I would never dare.
Helen Shaw, theater critic at New York Magazine. It is always a pleasure to have you. And Vulture, we love it when you come on by. Helen, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.